We would like to open this meeting of the Code Administration Technical Advisory Committee. Today is January the 31st of 2022, and it is 10 a.m. We will begin by calling roll to confirm our quorum. And if you would, answer by saying here. David Gilson? Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Michael Beret?
Here.
Bob Boyer?
Here.
Don Brown?
Here.
Shane Gerwig?
Here.
Michael Garacio?
Here.
Gray Marker?
Here.
John O'Connor?
Hey Marlene, it's Tom. I see John O'Connor and Commissioner Gilson on the call.
All right. I see that gives us a quorum. We can proceed with the meeting. And Jim, can you make sure that they are unmuted, please? First, we would like to approve the agenda as posted if there are no recommended changes. Like a recommendation or motion from the TAC member, please.
So motion to approve, Beret.
Thank you. Second. Boyer?
Yes.
Second, Marker.
All those in favor of the agenda as posted, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We'd also like to introduce staff. I am Marlita Peters. I'll help facilitate your meeting today. We have Mo Madani, Tom Campbell, Jim Hammers on the line. Do we have any other staff members who would like to be recognized?
Dustin Vogel.
Thank you, Justin. Do we have any guests on the line that would like to be recognized for the recording?
Jim Schock.
Thank you, Jim.
Joe Belcher.
Joe Belcher, thank you. Any other guests on the line? Do we have Mr. Alan Douglas on the line as representative or someone else representing the petition for declaratory statement?
Drew Peeler here on behalf of ACEC.
Drew Peeler, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, moving forward, TAC members. We would like to review and approve the previous minutes of October the 1st of 2021.
Move to approve, Boyer.
Brown seconds.
Boyer and Brown. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Our item on the agenda today is to review and provide recommendations to the Commission on a petition for declaratory statement DS-2022-002 by Alan Douglas of the American Council of Engineering Companies of Florida. Mr. Madani, do you have our staff analysis?
Justin is going to do the analysis at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Marlita. Good morning, TAC members. I was actually going to allow the petitioner to lay out their petition before getting into staff analysis. I guess I will, though, as a prefatory statement, note that a substantially similar question to this deck statement petition was heard by the BOAF Binding Interpretation Panel, which was then appealed to the Florida Building Commission. And so this may seem familiar to you. That BOAF binding interpretation petition was reversed and dismissed by the commission because the issues at play were predominantly statutory in nature rather than dealing with any kind of code provisions. So we had a conversation about whether this would be appropriate for the commission to issue a declaratory statement on, I believe at the August meeting last year. I do think that the commission has the authority to issue a declaratory statement on the matter, and with that, I'm happy to let the petitioner sort of briefly outline the nature of their petition and any comments they have about it.
Thank you. Mr. Peeler, will you be making those comments, or would Mr. Douglas be doing so?
I'll be making comments.
Thank you. This would be the appropriate time to lay out your request, sir.
Okay. I don't have much to say on this. Our, as he mentioned, this is sort of a follow-up to our previous interpretation petition, because there's been, I guess, some confusion about sections 553.79 and 553.791 with threshold inspectors and private providers and whether or not the same qualified person or entity can perform both services on the same threshold building. And it's our position that the same qualified person may do both of those things. There's nothing in either 553.791 or 553.79 that says otherwise. There's nothing restrictive. The only restrictions, I believe in 7391 regarding private providers, are that person may only perform building code inspection services that are within the disciplines covered by that person's license or certification, and that that person may not provide building code inspection services as a private provider upon any building designed or constructed by that person or that person's firm. So to say that they couldn't, we believe, would be reading something into the statute that's just not there. And, you know, at this stage, we don't really have any other firm or comment. I'll let you all discuss, and I know there's public comment afterwards. I believe I could address something if I choose. Is that correct?
We will possibly, at the chair's recommendation, give you an opportunity to respond if need be.
Okay.
Depends on the direction of the tax, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Justin, do you have further comments?
No, but I can provide the staff analysis before we open it up to public comment now.
Thank you.
All right. So, petitioner's question is essentially pursuant to sections 553.79 and 553.791 Florida statutes, may qualified private entity perform both private provider services and required threshold inspections on the same threshold building? Staff's suggested answer is yes. Section 553.795A Florida statutes does not prohibit an entity from both performing special inspections on a threshold building and private provider services for that building. A special inspector does not serve as a surrogate for carrying out the responsibilities of the building official merely by providing private provider services, since the local enforcing agency possesses and retains various oversight responsibilities and powers with respect to both special inspections and private provider services. As long as an entity has the appropriate qualifications to offer private provider services and to perform threshold inspections, the provisions of Section 553.79 sub 5 Florida statutes do not prohibit that entity from performing both private provider services and threshold inspections on the same building. And if the TAC has any questions for me, I'd be happy to address them.
Thank you. TAC members, are there any clarifying questions for either the petitioner or for Mr. Vogel?
Yes, Marley, this is Shanker.
Okay, and this is clarifying questions, not yet discussion. Anyone besides Shane, and we'll make a list.
This is Dave Gilson. Can you hear me or no?
Yes, sir, we can hear you, Mr. Gilson.
Okay.
Do you have comments or questions?
Yes, I do.
All right. And anyone else with clarifying questions at this time?
Don Burrell.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Michael Gerasio.
And keep in mind, TAC members, this is not discussion yet, just clarifying questions. Anyone else on the TAC with clarifying questions? Thank you. Mr. Gerwig, I believe you were first.
Thank you, Marlita, and good morning, everyone. My question is actually for Justin on this, as far as AETHER is concerned. It looks like the petition for declaratory statement was specific to the private provider firm and the firm that is providing the threshold inspections. So my question, Mr. Vogel, would be, does the provisions of Florida Building Code 110.8.6, and I'll read it here real quick, it says the building department may allow a special inspector to conduct the minimum structural inspection of the threshold buildings required by this code, comma, section 553.73, comma, Florida statutes, comma, without duplicative inspections by the building department. And then it goes down on there to also say the building official is responsible for ensuring that any person conducting the inspections is qualified, and then it talks about the qualifications later on. So Mr. Vogel, my question is this, is although the specific question has to deal with the actual entity performing the inspections, it's my understanding that the building department, you know, it's labeled as building department here in this rather than building official, which is a little challenging as well, too. But it says the building department may basically say that if this has to be two separate people. But we're not talking, and Mr. Vogel, please correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not talking about the provisions of two separate people performing the inspections, because I still believe that's up to the building official. We're talking about the same firm providing both services. Is that what we're discussing today?
I mean, I do believe that we are talking about the same firm. I don't know if it's necessarily the same individual. I do know that the code provision was that code section that was cited for the binding interpretation petition. And that code section doesn't really deal with the statutory provisions, and really, like, it doesn't, to some extent, I'm not even sure, you know, where, how appropriate that code section is. It's an interesting thing that even exists. It, my analysis is based on the statute, the code allowing sort of a permissive ability for the building official to do it, is sort of its own separate issue.
Very good. Thanks, Mr. Vogel. I appreciate it. I think that answered my question.
Thank you. Mr. Gilson?
My question is also for Mr. Vogel. The we'll assume at this point that, you know, we're going to approve it based on the staff analysis. Maybe not, but for the purposes of this question, if we were to approve it, can we put special notations in there, you know, under special circumstances that have to be met based on this binding interpretation?
What exactly do you mean, Commissioner Gilson?
All right, so without getting into the discussion portion of it, you know, quite often, if not almost always, the special inspector is also the designer, the structural engineer. Not always, but quite often, for good reason. And then in the engineer's board, they can send themselves or, you know, authorized personnel or whatever terminology they use, but basically a separate person. And I think that's where it starts going awry for me on the private provider side. They can have 468 licensed individuals as inspectors. And then on the threshold inspection side, under their rules, they could send that same inspector as opposed to the actual engineer. And where it starts going awry for me a little bit, because at a certain point they could send effectively any warm body out there, as opposed to someone who is thoroughly educated on that portion of the building, which is usually the engineer of record. So I guess the special circumstances would be if it is approved by us, that under those circumstances, the engineer of record, or I suppose another PE, structural based PE, would actually do the inspections, as opposed to 468 or, you know, what do they call EIT, or any particular person in the office. We'd have to have an actual professional engineer doing them.
Well, is this touching on the provision that essentially allows the individual serving as a special inspector to send a duly authorized representative to perform the inspection?
Basically, yes. I didn't use that term, but that is the term, a duly authorized representative. And, you know, we presume that they're going to send, you know, another PE or themselves. But if they're doing the private provider and they actually hire 468 inspectors, it would be awfully convenient for that inspector to be out there doing, you know, whatever, a plumbing inspection or electrical inspection, and also the structural inspection for the threshold. And I'm experiencing a little agita on that.
Well, I'll preface by saying I'm not an expert in the threshold building sort of process. And, you know, we've touched on this a couple of times. In general, we've really tried to avoid it because this isn't usually a code issue and the commission doesn't have direct supervisory control over these statutes. So, but as far as my understanding of this provision, I've got my statute book and open up looking at it now. I mean, I don't think that the statute itself necessarily writes in, you know, the requirement that the duly authorized representative have certain, you know, certain qualifications. I don't know to what extent if that's reflected somewhere else in the statute that I'm not aware of, or if it's somewhere in some of the, you know, the rules pertaining to special inspectors, which, again, the commission doesn't have anything to do with. I would be leery of writing anything into the sort of the statutory language if it's not there. If Mo or anyone else, you know, if you have experience with any kind of information about where that might come from, then I would consider, you know, supporting that or giving it a stamp of approval. But I'd be hesitant to write it in if it's, you know, not laid out there in statute.
Hey, Justin, this is Mo. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mo.
Okay. I think really the issue here is not the authorized representative. We know that both laws has a specific requirement for the authorized representative. So when it comes to the special inspectors, 471 and the rules are established by the Florida Board of Engineers, they do have a specific qualification for the authorized representative. So if you're doing, in this case, if the inspection is specific to this special inspection, meaning for threshold building, as per the work plan established by the engineer of record, then the procedure and the requirement as per for the statute 471 and the authorized representative would have to meet those qualifications as established by the Board of Engineers. If you're doing only the structure, the inspections as it relates to those inspections that required by the local building official, then yes, then you go with the private providers and the qualification of authorized representative. This declaratory statement really, with regard to the qualification of authorized representative, is not the subject. The subject here is you have a threshold building inspector who's qualified as a threshold building inspector. Can he do both? You know, can he do the really the you know, what's required under the private providers, and also what's required under the threshold billing, you know, for those specific responsibility established by law. And that's really the guts of this question. It has to do with that qualified individual as special inspector, and not really whether the authorized representative and their qualification.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, you had a question?
Yes, I think it's sort of been covered, but let me just, for clarity, ask the question. I know, Justin, your analysis, the conclusion of your analysis is based upon the assumption that the entity has the appropriate qualifications, and then you go on to say yes, that based on 553.795A, that it does not prohibit an entity from both performing both of these inspections. I guess my question is, that's pretty clear according to your analysis. It seems to me to be counterintuitive that an inspector would be serving in both of these capacities if, in fact, we want the best possible outcome. I mean, we don't allow CPAs to audit their own work, I don't think, and this sort of seems like that. So, but I guess my question then is, you are clear, you believe that according to the statute, that as long as they're qualified, they can do both.
Yes, I think that there is a restriction on private providers performing services on buildings, I think, that were designed by their company. I think Mr. Peeler cited it. You know, there is a restriction pertaining to that in there. The general thrust of this analysis and I think the original sort of question dealt with really whether or not the you know, whether a private provider, whether the special inspector would be, whether a private provider who's also performing the special inspection services would be acting as a surrogate for the billing official, I think, because the general idea would be that the billing officials, absent the private provider, you know, being present, would be performing the non-special inspection, construction inspections on the structure. And to some extent, you know, the two statutory sections, they don't perfectly play well together because they weren't drafted at the same time. And I think that when the latter one, which I believe was a private provider statute, was passed by the legislature, I don't know that they went and really fully harmonized the two. But my analysis is essentially that the special inspector, you know, performing the private provider services that they're able to, would not be acting as a surrogate for the local enforcement agency, i.e. the building official here. And that is kind of the main, I think, thrust of the question and the issue. As Mr. Madani pointed out, there are, you know, other sort of rules that have been promulgated that deal with qualifications for special inspectors and the qualifying agents that Commissioner Gilson brought up. You know, there's a number of things that go beyond the commission's jurisdiction and you know, my own legal knowledge of it, but honing in on this particular statutory provision and how it interacts with the private provider provisions, I don't see that there's any prohibition based on cited statutory section.
Is it appropriate for the commission to inform legislative staff that there is a lack of harmony between these two sections and that it might be something they would want to consider correcting?
It could. The commission actually has a assignment within Chapter 553 to report any legislative issues to the legislature or any potential issues to the legislature. I think that pursuant to that, we do prepare a report for the legislature each year. If that was something that you wanted to be included in the report, I think that we could probably talk with our executive director, Tom Campbell, about whether we want to include that or how to do so, and bring up the fact that there had there's this deck statement that was issued now or will be presumably, and that there might be a benefit to looking at those two different provisions and seeing if the legislature wanted to be more clear about how they want them to interact. I don't know that there's any, conflict per se, but it seems pretty clear that they weren't really drafted in harmony together. That's clear.
Mr. Brown, does that answer all of your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Garofalo.
Most of my questions were answered. I just have one basic question. If a private provider designed a building, a threshold building, and they inspected or hired to inspect it as a special inspector, are they in violation of 791.3?
Mr. Vogel?
I'm having to look that up. I mean, whatever restrictions are in place about the private provider, services they can provide, they will be in place here. This declaratory statement and answer is specifically geared towards the statutory sections that I cited, and so any other statutory section that is present that restricts what they can do or imposes an obligation on them or limitation would still apply. I tried to be explicit in what the analysis says, what the answer says, so that it would not go any further afield and mess with any other particular requirements or restrictions.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment or questions at this time?
Jim Schock here. I'd like to make a public comment.
Thank you. And let me see if there's a list, Mr. Schock, before you proceed. Anyone else from the public that would like to be listed for comment or questions?
Joe Belcher, FHVA.
John Freeland.
John, it sounds like you have both your computer and your phone on. You might want to bring the volume down or mute one of them. Is there anyone else with public comment that would like to be added to the list? Okay, Mr. Schock.
First of all, I want to make clear this is my opinion and does not represent any of the opinion of the commission, since I am on the commission. I want to make that clear. It's based on my years of building official experience and my participation in the rulemaking with the Board of Engineers on threshold inspectors. And I think it might answer some of the questions that have been put in place. First of all, threshold inspections and building code inspections are two entirely different inspections. A threshold building, in fact, the way the threshold building came about, the intent was for the threshold inspector to be the engineer of record, would be the best scenario because they know the design of the building inside and out. So there is no problem in my mind with a threshold inspector doing threshold inspections on a building they design. can't do building code inspections on the building they design. And as far as the provisions in the code under 110.8.6, the operative phrase there is that the building official or the building department may allow. So because they're two separate inspections, the law allows an owner to hire a fire provider, and he's required to hire a threshold inspector or an inspection of the building that's a threshold building. And what I used to do as a building official is if they came to me and requested that the threshold inspections and the building official and the building inspections be done as a threshold inspection, I required that when they gave me the list of who was going to do the inspections, either the authorized representative was a licensed 468 building inspector, or the building inspection was going to be done by the license holder of the threshold license special inspector. And that way I took care of the issue with authorized representatives. But there are two separate inspections. I think staff analysis is appropriate and correct, that's my comment.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Belcher.
Joe Belcher, Florida Homebuilders Association. Jim and I have the advantage of being old enough to have been around when both these laws were passed, and I agree with what Jim said. And at one point during the Threshold Act, the intent was to have a separate engineer from the designer. It was supposed to be somebody totally separate from the design process, but that got worked out by the legislature. I'd just like to put Florida Homebuilders Association in support of the staff analysis. We do believe that if the person is qualified, they can do both jobs on the same building. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Freeland.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can now, yes, sir. There's still a little bit of background noise.
Okay. Anyway, the only comment I wanted to make is what we've seen before here was it was the same designated representative that was doing the structural inspections and the threshold at the same time. And the reason for us developing our policy that originally started this conversation was to maintain some separation, which I feel like speaks to the intent of the threshold requirement to begin with. I don't think we were looking at a defensible or separate type of outside anything if they were sending the same designated representative every same time to do the inspections simultaneously.
Mr. Freeland, who do you represent?
I'm the billing official of the City of Gainesville.
Okay, thank you. That's what we needed. Do you have any further comments or questions?
No, I do appreciate the consideration, and a lot of really good points have been brought up through this discussion, for sure. I think all of us want to be a reasonable, but I think we need to defend the intent of the threshold program.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else from the public with further comments or questions? Hearing none, TAC members, back to you for discussion and or motion.
O'Connor, I'd like to move the staff analysis as the answer to the question is yes. I'm not particularly fond of the answer, but that is the way the law reads.
Right, second.
We have the motion by Mr. O'Connor, seconded by Mr. Beret. TAC members, any further discussion?
I'd like to put my 2 cents in. It's Dave Gelson.
Thank you, Mr. Gelson.
Although I feel I must agree with the motion, as though it's pretty clear the way the statute's written in the administrative code and all those things. My concern is, as Mr. Shock said, as being a building official, what I see time and time and time again is Big Brother comes in and makes a rule, and somewhere in that rule there's a loophole, and then they drive a freight train through it. And I think that's going to be the unintended consequences of this. That's why I was asking for some, you know, special circumstances, for special rules. And Mr. Holman says we're not able to do that, and I understand that, but I just wanted to kind of, that's my concern, is if we don't put something in there through this discussion, what I'm thinking is, so you have a law, statute, administrative code, code, whatever it is, and then you have another one, and you have another one, and you have another one. The question starts coming up, which one is primary, which one oversteps the other one or takes control of the lesser ones, which one is the higher one? And this one being the last one, as of today, it may be looked at like, well, the, by interpretation, says the same private provider company or same engineering company can do both. Will it be looked upon as, well, that overrides the private provider designer clause, that the designer can't also be the private provider? And that's my concern. But here's my two cents.
Thank you. TAC members, do we have any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All those in favor of the motion to accept the staff analysis, please vote by saying aye or nay.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion stands. Mr. Campbell, did you want to address the legislative issues at this time, or should that be delayed?
We can talk about it when it comes to the commission in a week.
Thank you. Any further public comment or remarks at this time? Hearing none, that concludes our meeting. It is now 10:38. Ladies and gentlemen, please have a good day, and thank you for all of your participation today. We are adjourned.
Great job, Marlita.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marlita.
Thank you.